All right, we're back. That was a well-timed break in coverage here for Ben, because then we can pick it right up. So, okay, you were saying on the other end that this is why the right is talking about this, that this could be for control in Congress. So revisit that if you could.
Yes. So right now, Wisconsin's maps are rigged by design by the former Supreme Court majority to ensure that Republicans have the majority of seats. In fact, they have 6 of the 8 congressional seats in a 50-50 state. Democrats have 2. Mark Pogan and Gwen Moore. Republicans have 6. And
they're the best, by the way. Aren't they awesome?
They're fantastic.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really great. Not the 6. We have some of... we're not sending their best.
We're not.
Essentially, there are people who've made arguments that this kind of partisan gerrymandering actually does not pass muster under our state's constitution. The state Supreme Court has never adjudicated those issues. But what we know for sure is that if Brad Schimmel gets on the state Supreme Court, he will do anything to prevent the state Supreme Court looking seriously at the constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. So Elon Musk actually polled were able to see a poll that he ran in the state Supreme Court race, and he asked voters if it would make them more or less likely to vote for Brad Schimmel if the following statement was true. Quote, President Donald Trump says electing Brad Schimmel is vitally important and that it's the difference between a Republican majority in Congress that will pass his agenda and a Democrat majority that will work to defeat his agenda. So for the GOP, they see the Supreme Court race as a chance to prevent a fair consideration of the congressional maps. And we also have seen Republican groups fundraising on re-gerrymandering the state legislative maps. They want to go back to the old gerrymandered maps. So it essentially would, if Republicans get in and they block any consideration of the congressional maps and re-gerrymander the state legislative maps, there's no future where the majority could determine the majority of Wisconsin's congressional seats or the state legislative seats. Republicans would always have the power of the purse in the state of Wisconsin, and it would help ensure that Mike Johnson never poses a check on Donald Trump and Elon Musk in Congress. So there's a lot at stake. And on top of that, voting rights have come up over and over. And so and election certifications come up over and over. So the U.S. Senate majority, the presidential election in 2028, and the House majority are all affected by what happens in this one Supreme Court race on April 1st.
That's crazy. There's also another race that's happening. And at the time of recording this, this is primary day. So, you're all going to know what happened. But I do want to talk about a theme that's going on in the state superintendent race, and it's vouchers and not vouchers. And a very good friend of mine is a president of a large school board. And they've told me about how vouchers has just decimated their entire district, thousands of kids. What's going on there?
So there's a kind of elemental question of whether we should have a great public school in every neighborhood in the state of Wisconsin. And Republicans are trying to essentially shred the public education system so that they can then use vouchers everywhere and fund private schools, religious schools with public money, political right-wing schools, that they want to end a kind of guarantee of equal good public education for all and switch to a voucher system. Yep. Yeah, they want to end accountability. They want to end public oversight. It undermines democracy. Schools are locally administered. There's local school boards. There's all these decisions that are made that the public has a voice on. And there's a flood of Republican money to support one candidate for state superintendent, Brittany Kinzer, to try to shift to a voucher-only system. And where this has been tried in other states, it's been bad. And for any kid, whatever kind of school you go to, we want kids to succeed in our state. What we don't want is the wholesale destruction of the public education system. So we're recording this on the day of the primary. We don't know who's going to come out of it. But I think when we get through, it's critical to make sure that on April 1st, folks are voting both for Susan Crawford for the state Supreme Court, but also voting against a wholesale voucherization of Wisconsin public schools. And then in local races, we have mayoral races in a whole bunch of places. There's city council races, there's school board races, there's school referenda, which, by the way, Republicans in the legislature are trying to ban local school referenda to prevent local districts from countering what Republicans have done on a statewide level, which is defunding public education. Like, there's a lot at stake. This is a high stakes election. And anyone listening right now, recruit everyone you know, because we need votes to turn out on April 1st.
So, and I couldn't say it better myself. As we look ahead in Wisconsin, so, you know, let's hope the right thing happens in April. What's in store after that? I mean, you know, is Tony Evers going to run? I remember sitting with him in Ripon, and it was me, him, and Charlie Sykes. Talk about a surreal thing. Tracy Mangold was there. And he said to us, he's like, we're going to flip the legislature in 2 years. And we're like, what? He goes, yep, it's going to happen. And he talked, but like, no joke, he was serious. It's going to happen. He goes, mark my words, it's going to happen. Is that realistic?
So as long as Republicans don't win, as long as Elon Musk doesn't put Brad Schimmel on Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and we have the fair maps that we have now, then in 2026, there's a real chance that, you know, if Governor Evers does decide to run again, he becomes three-term Tony, that we flip the state Senate majority and that we flip the state assembly majority. It's only 2 seats in the Senate and 5 in the assembly now, down from 6 and 15 that we had to flip. The maps mean that if the public decides it's had enough of Republican misrule and attacks, and they want to give Democrats a shot, that the public could actually decide to put Democrats in charge. And then Democrats can show that we're a party that believes we all do better when we all do better. And, you know, I think the record, if you zoom out, of Democratic governance is so much more effective than Republican governance. So there's a real chance that we go the full boomerang from a blue trifecta after 2008 to a red trifecta in 2010, and then fight year by year, back. 2026 could be the year that we win a blue trifecta in Wisconsin and have a chance not just to correct the damage that Scott Walker and Robin Voss and the GOP inflicted on our state, but to actually step into the 21st century and make this a state that works for everyone.
That's
the dream.
That's remarkable. You posted a video this week. We're talking about national issues and what to do. You talked about a three-pronged response to the moment of crisis. I shared it. I hope everybody sees that, because, you know, there's so much right now of this uncertainty. What do I do? What's happening? You know, I call it the Phil Spector, it's wall of sound from the Trump administration. And no one really knows what can I do? How do I do it? What are Democrats doing right now to fight what's going on nationally?
So this is the three-part strategy. First, it's to make sure people know about the impact of what Trump and Musk and Republicans in Congress and at every level are doing and how it actually affects people's lives. Don't make it about norms. Don't make it about acronyms of federal agencies. Make it about the actual effect of taking away the food people need to put on their table, making the markets disappear for farmers' crops. We grow food in Wisconsin farms that nourishes people around the world because USAID buys it and distributes it in the Food for Freeze program. Suddenly that's dried up. Make it about the impact on real folks. And it makes sure that people who are directly affected are heard from. The people who are getting fired, who just dreamed of being able to, you know, protect clean water or make sure that planes didn't crash, who are suddenly being laid off by the Trump administration. That's item one, is to create a political cost blowback, contain the damage of what Republicans are doing. Item two is to lift up and support Democrats doing the right thing. So tonight, I guess this will be in the rearview mirror when this people are listening. Governor Evers is doing his budget address.
Yes.
He's going to lay out his priorities for the state. And there's so much there that people are gonna want to stand up and cheer for, including public education funding. So making sure people find out what Democrats are actually standing for and fighting for and doing puts wind in our sails. There's a lot we can do, especially in the state level. And that work is happening. It's important to lift it up. And the third thing is to win elections. And that's where April 1st comes in. The thing that will help end this moment of crisis for the entire American experiment is if Republicans in Congress discover that their jobs are on the line if they don't actually stand up to this administration. Right now, they're only afraid of Republican primary challenges and Donald Trump's mean tweets and Elon Musk's tweets and his super PACs, but they should be concerned about what the public thinks of them, because they could lose general elections. And so winning elections, overperforming in elections, winning on April 1st in the Supreme Court race and everything else, it's absolutely critical, both for the direct impact that it has on who holds power and what happens in people's lives, but also because it sends a message that we still have the fighting spirit, that we still believe in an America that lives up to our founding ideals, something we've never quite achieved but need to keep striving for, and that we can defeat the people who want to shred this country and then sell off the scraps to enrich billionaires. Like, if we can show that we can win, then we get momentum and energy to be able to fight back and make a difference. And so we have to do all three at once, but we can do this. We can do hard things. Our country's faced worse moments before. We're going to get through this.
Yeah. And this, what it's interesting is last time around when Trump was in office, there were guardrails, you know, there were people that were like, yeah, we're not going to do these insane things, but it seems like every day, you know, Donald Trump and his not so merry band of morons break dozens of laws, stretch the Constitution to its breaking point. You know, and this week they're holding meetings with Russia and themselves about Ukraine, and they just like forgot to invite Ukraine about their own damn country.
Yes, it's unbelievable. I mean, it is cartoonish. They're really like cartoon villains. I'm sure it'll be the case that there will be future wars over whether you can accurately describe this era in history books or whether it will seem too partisan to simply document what Trump and Musk and the Republicans are doing. But that's where we are. And, you know, we have to remember that there are more of us than there are of them, that that this election was not a mandate. Trump didn't even win a majority of votes right in this country, won the popular vote, but most people did not vote for Donald Trump, who did vote. And a lot of people didn't vote. The path is there for us to contain the damage and build something better. And as terrifying as this moment is, this has to be the seedbed for the kind of future that everyone deserves.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think when we look forward to everything that's happening and all of this chaos and all of this noise and all of that, will April 1st really give us an idea of where we're headed? Because, I mean, Wisconsin's a bellwether, man, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll learn a lot on April 1st. You know, I believe that we're going to find it within ourselves to fight back and be able to win. It's going to take all of us. If you're listening right now, you need to be the hero in this story. This cannot be a spectator sport. It's going to take everyone getting everyone they know to go out and cast a ballot and recruit their own friends to be able to go out and cast a ballot. That can overcome the richest man in the world trying to buy Wisconsin Supreme Court if we just do our work. And if we do that, we can show our country, our state, ourselves, the world, that the future is not written in stone. This country does not have to collapse under the weight of the Musk-Trump attacks. We can fight back, and we will, and we'll win.
I think we'll win, too. And I think so much is thanks to what you've done in this state. I mean, look back at your entire time. What's the most memorable point of your political activity in Wisconsin?
I mean, I think it's actually that moment on election night in 2023. When the four women justices who made up the new Supreme Court majority walked in and raised their arms high together, you know, with Lizzo blaring, and the crowd exploded, and it was like clear that we'd created a new birth of democracy in our state. And that's what Republicans are trying to strangle in the cradle, but we're not going to let them do it. We are going to keep moving forward. We're going to unrig the state. We're going to show the country that even if the right rigs this whole nation, that we can unrig it. And if we can do that, there is a much brighter future ahead.
I agree. I'm going to ask you one time. What do you want to do when you grow up?
Step by step, man.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, ultimately I just want my kids to be able to grow up in a free country where they can be proud of what the country stands for. And that's kind of the North Star for me.
Yeah. I'm so grateful, you know, for the things that that you've done. I think, you know, whatever happens after April and whatever your future is, the role that you played in Wisconsin politics for a long time was a cornerstone. And keep walking into fires, man. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Right. Ben Wickler, everybody, here on The Rational Revolution. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Sounds good. All right, take care.
Thank you. Well, that was Mr. Chairman. He's done some remarkable things in Wisconsin, and we've been so lucky to have him. And maybe he'll stick around. I hope he does. But I think he's got some. He's going to do some big things. And we're very blessed to have him here and have his leadership, because I mean the things that he's done is pivotal. So yeah, my thoughts are coming up on the other side of the break. Thank you so much. This is The Rational Revolution.